Jim Osborne?
We'll come back. Excuse us.
Oh, okay. Got it. Ron Pinchback. Ron Pinchback? We'll come around again. Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer. I'm going to do this again. Sandra Rawline.
I'm here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence
I'm
Reyes.
I'm here. Presente.
Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Good. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Andrea Turner.
Present.
Good. Beth Von Gunten.
Present.
Good. Tom Voorhees.
Tom is here.
Good. Alex Steinberg.
I'm here.
Good. And let me go back to the missing. Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
Good. Dwayne Lark.
Oh, good. I'm here every week. Present.
Good. Ron Pinchback.
Weekly thing.
He's coming. He'll be here in a minute.
Okay. And Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer? Okay. I do not hear from Ralph.
Ralph is about to log on.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Ralph is going to log on. And in regards to Jose Ramirez, uh-huh. I called him and he has not called me back. So.
Okay.
Lawrence, I think you
might have
Gutierrez, right? Contact
Gutierrez. Okay, next. Alex.
We have quorum.
Some excused absences.
We do have
Ron here, just stepped in.
Yeah, we had a request for an excused absence from Jim Osborne. That's the only one I'm aware of. Can I have a motion to excuse Jim Osborne?
So moved.
Okay. Can we get a second?
Lyndon seconds.
Okay. Any objections? Okay. Timekeepers, who would like to volunteer for people, part of the timekeeping?
Chair, I'll do people, but I'm trying to update my security settings, which I've been advised to do by my computer, and so I will provisionally do that, and if I have a problem, I'll let you know.
James, this is Lyndon. I'll do that. I'll do it.
Oh, thank you, Lyndon.
Let Lyndon do it, then. What about topics? We have a volunteer for topics.
If nobody steps up, Chair, I will do it.
You got it. Thank you, both of you. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Just want to let the secretary know that I'm here. I'm present. Ron Pinchback.
Good to know. Great. I marked you present.
Okay.
And Ralph is here now too, secretary.
Okay. We have a report out from the last closed session. Helena, do you have it handy?
I do not.
Okay.
let me look for it.
Marion, do you have the report out from the last closed session?
I am searching for it.
It was very short, I remember.
Yes, and my problem is that we went back and forth from open to closed to open to closed, and as a result, my minutes are rather tangled.
Oh.
Alex, I think I know it. It was in regards to, we met, to approve, D&O insurance, I believe.
We did approve it.
Yeah. I think that was it.
That was it. No, you're right. I believe you're right. Yes. Okay. That's the announcement to report out. So let me read the draft agenda. This meeting was called especially to discuss KPFT. It was called by three directors from KPFT. So that's what we're devoting the meeting to. The item number one on the agenda is agenda approval, 5 minutes. Item number two is approval of the open session minutes from April 8th and April 15th. Item number three, it's actually number four on the draft agenda, but it's presentation of problems at KPFT, or I shouldn't say problems, progress at KPFT. That's a 15-minute item, and we've invited the general manager from KPFT to make that presentation. And after that, we adjourn to closed session. Can I ask the recording secretary to find out if the non-director members of the board are on the call yet?
Okay, request for information, Lawrence.
Yes, Lawrence.
So in the notice for executive session, it was not mentioned as to why we were meeting in executive session. I got a couple of emails from listeners.
Yeah, to discuss KPFT.
Okay.
The whole meeting is to discuss KPFT. Part of it is just going to be in closed session.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia, glad you're here. I know Anita is here.
Yes, I am.
Ali has his hand up, Mr. Chair.
Hold on, I'm Ali, did you want to say something about the attendance?
Yeah, absolutely nothing against Mr. Gutierrez, and actually I like him, he's a friend of mine, but I was just wondering what the protocol or procedure is for unexcused absences. I think he hasn't attended a single meeting as long as I've been on the board.
The question is really off topic. I'll just give you a quick answer. If you have three unexcused absences in a row, you're automatically removed from the board. That's in the bylaws.
I have my hand up.
That's it. I don't want to discuss this any further. This is not where we're on right now.
I just want to say that he asks for an unexcused absence all the time, except for today.
Okay, I'm not questioning that. I'm just telling Ali what the bylaws say. okay.
So that's one unexcused absence.
That's correct. So getting back to, is Arthur on the call? Okay, well, he doesn't have to be on it for the open session. We might want to hear from him for the closed session. And I know Mr. Tatum is on the call. Is that correct?
I am here.
Okay. All right. So let's move on. So can I have a motion to approve the draft agenda?
Oh, move, Lawrence.
Can I get a second?
Second. This is Sandra.
Okay. Are there any, does anybody want to add anything to the draft agenda or anything? Okay, if none, are there any objections then to the draft agenda? Okay, the draft agenda then is adopted. So the next item is approval of minutes for open sessions of April 8th and April 15th. I'm not 100% sure if those are available, are they?
The April 8th minutes are available. I'm still untangling the April 15th because...
Yeah.
The group went back and forth between open and closed session, not necessarily in proper order. So instead of having two separate sets of minutes, which I usually do, I've got them all munged into one, and I have to untangle them.
Okay, I understand. Are there any corrections to the April 8th minutes? Okay, then those minutes are approved. So the next item, we have 15 minutes for a presentation on progress at KPFT. We're going to hear from the general manager of KPFT, David Bays. Am I pronouncing that correctly? I'm not sure.
That is correct, sir.
Okay. And glad you were able to join us, Mr. Bays, and you have the floor.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody. I do realize that you are a very busy group, and I very much thank you for taking the time to hear what progress we have made, and there's been a lot over the past 3 months. Most of this is pretty technical stuff, but it is stuff that I believe is really going to move us forward. We had the opportunity to have our engineer Mo come down into Houston, and we brainstormed about all the things that needed to be done, and here's the list of things that did get accomplished while he was here. We were able to boost our signal strength and the quality of our signal for KPFT FM. When I arrived here, the transmitter was not running at full power. It was down about 15,000 watts from where it's licensed, and it was simply because it had not been maintained correctly. We've installed modern web interface switchers, which basically means from our studio now all the way out to the transmitter, we are 100% digital. And what this has done is it got rid of all the background noise and the hiss and the pops that we are having. When I arrived in January, our station sounded like AM on FM. It was pretty rough. We did install all of the equipment correctly. We took out a lot of wiring that had no need to be there and was causing noise. We also were having a major problem with our HD1 signal, where it was not syncing or playing at the same time as our analog on 90.1. We have installed a processor that now aligns those up. And so people, when they're driving in their cars and they go under a bridge, when it flips back and forth between analog and HD, it's exactly the same. We went to Huntsville. Inspected our translator to find that the internet was offline, and the transmitter was also up there running at a lower power. Those both have been corrected, and Huntsville is now back at its full power. worked with Mo as well. I donated what we call an RDS encoder for KPFT. What this does is it provides the words on the radios and the radios in your car. So before, when you would tune to 90.1, that's all it would say. Now it says our call letters, our station identification, and how to donate all on your radio dial. We had a major issue with the electrical box at the transmitter location. The amperage that the transmitter was pulling was more than the box was rated for, and it was getting to the point where it was melting the wiring on the inside, and it was starting to smoke every time that it would get under a heavy load. Contacted Crown Castle. A brand new electrical box was installed, and that actually has taken a lot of pressure off of the transmitter itself. So that did amazing amounts of positivity for us. I'll go through this next list very quickly because it's a lot of stuff that most people, don't really, you know, look at on a daily basis, but it's things, where I come from. I make sure that we're in FCC compliance at all given times. I make sure that we are at 100% power at all times. I make sure that our logs and our checks are all done perfectly to make sure that there's no problems when it comes to licensing. So all of our EAS logs had been finally downloaded. The machine has been upgraded to the current software. They were printed and signed. Also, we created a list for Mo and for Lydia for administrator and user accounts for the transmitter location. Our air chain from the studio to the transmitter now has all been fitted for standardized automation. So when we choose to move forward with that, we already have everything in place to put in new automation. We produced, documented and disclosed, had given, from Bobby some of our network configuration information to Mo and Lydia at the station and the transmitter sites. It's in a spreadsheet form that they now have in their possession. We fixed our dial-up remote control unit. It was not working at the transmitter location. That has now been fixed. All computer administration for the building has also been fixed and given to Mo and Lydia. Let's see what else we've got on the list here. This is the one I'm most proud of. Back in 2016, KPFT took a lightning hit and it fried the top bay of our 13 bay transmitter antenna. It was never fixed. And we had a problem with some tower lighting that the tower crew actually took care of from Crown Castle. And when the gentleman had come down the tower, he had told me, he said, your problem's getting worse. And I didn't know what he was talking about. And so he had taken a picture and showed it to me. So while Mo was here, we have ordered a new replacement bay. It is already at the transmitter location. I've picked it up. It will be installed next Friday. And what this will do is it will keep water from getting into our broadcast line. It will keep the transmitter in balance. It will also improve the circle or the circumference of our signal. So it will prevent all the moisture and the water from leaking in, and it will reduce the stress for the other 12 bays that are up on the tower. And that's going to take us off the air just briefly, but I chose to do it next week before we go into pledge. So we have a 100% solid signal, and now we have a clear signal going into pledge. Also have ordered a set, which will be here tomorrow, in fact, our STL link. We have digital versions now that we're going to be able to reinstall, that we have dishes at the studio and already at the transmitter location that were old analog units that were shut down years ago. They were doing some work, apparently in construction in downtown Houston. But once that construction was over, those were never reactivated. Well, technology moved forward and those old analog units are no good. So we have now gotten it where we can get it, send a digital signal straight to the transmitter over the air for it to pick up at the transmitter. And what this will do is this will give us a major reduction of internet charges as I start to build with Markeisha our 2022 budget. We can use our existing microwave dishes, so there is no upgrades that we need to do. This is a pretty simple fix that will alleviate a lot of pressure on our budget. I am in the process of getting quotes for a phone system. We have a very, very old antiquated system, and we are working on getting that upgraded at this time. We are in the process. I'm working with the finance committee for the 2022 budget. I have gotten a list and have now disclosed all vendors, points of contact, got everything down to a very simple scope where it's much more easily to manage. I've reviewed all of our agreements that we currently have for cost effectiveness, and so I'll be able to really roll back on costs going into 2022. And if you haven't had a chance, we have formed a team to update the KPFT website. And thanks to a lot of help from, in fact, one of your board members, Ali, I want to thank him personally for a lot of help and a lot of design ideas that we have now put in place for KPFT.org. We have put together ways to engage our audience without actually having to engage them on the air. And what that does is, as people are pledging, it also gives them something else to focus on. You know, what do you want as a listener? What do you want to see out of us? What are the things that mean the most to you in this community? And it's going to give us an opportunity to do a lot of polls. It's going to give us a chance to really align the station with what the listeners are truly wanting to do. And so having the new updated website, that's still working on it, but it looks really good now, and it's only going to get better in the future. So I can say that in 3 months, just on the moving things forward, keeping things positive, the entire team here, from volunteers to the paid staff have been 150% behind my ideas, their ideas. We've collaborated. We're really moving things forward, and I could not be more proud of the team here in Houston.
Thank you, Mr. Bays. That was a wonderful report. And I will take a stack for questions. Who would like to be on the stack?
Lawrence to the stack.
Lawrence, who else?
Ron to the stack.
Ron, anybody else? Okay, start with you, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, David, for your report. I did get the technical report from Mr. Foley. So I have three questions, right? The first question is, what are your efforts in bringing in the underrepresented communities, specifically BIPOC people, people of color, to be representative of the signal area that Houston represents? Number two is where's the money coming from? And maybe you can't answer that now. You could certainly write me. Where's the money coming from to do all of the upgrades that you are doing? And finally, I can't remember the third question. So if you can answer those two, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, you're more than welcome. And your questions are very valid, and I want to give you the best answer I can. Number one, we have to have a signal people can listen to get to any type of listener, regardless of race, regardless of where they are. And the problem was, is when we first got here, we didn't have a signal at all that was even listenable. To answer more specifically, we have added programs, especially for our Black communities. We are also featuring a lot of special programs that we have for our Hispanic and Latino communities. And we still have our core shows that people want to have every day for this point. I have not gotten into working on the formatting or the programming of the station at this point. I'm still working on that. However, with that being at a standstill for the moment, I'm able to go on the technical side and work on things. With my background as an engineer, also with Mo's help, and having a really good network of people that I have been able to work with, I've had a lot of equipment either donated, I've had the ability to fix equipment that wasn't working, and so it wasn't a matter of spending money as much as it was being able to fix and put everything where it belonged so it would function properly. That was the biggest problem that we had, is that the stuff that we had in the building or out at the transmitter, they were either not plugged in, not wired right, simple things that could be taken care of, but it just took the time to go out and look at every single individual piece and put the pieces together. And so between Mo and myself, if we did have to have a part, we went through everybody in both of our Rolodexes to find the lowest possible cost. And I will say that with our building being closed at the moment, I had just enough leeway to be able to put in the equipment that was needed to be put in. And so it was able to move us forward. And now we're completely done getting everything in line that we need. So when we go back to being 100% live, 100% in the building, 100% wherever, we are now ready to tackle it in more ways and from many more positions than we ever could before.
Thank you. Chair, I had 45 seconds left of my time. I did remember the third question. And okay. Thank you, Chair. So the third question, David, is, you know, KPFT was one of the first stations to lose a CPB funding as a result of the not being representative of the demographics. I understand that we do need a signal in order to reach all our listeners, all our communities. But the fact is that race does matter in these times. And as you know, Black Lives Matter and people are being murdered. Usually black and brown youth are being murdered. So race does matter. And I understand regardless of race, and everybody should be diverse enough to understand that all communities need to be represented. But that particular statement took me aback a little bit. How are you going to bring up the representation of the demographics in the Houston metropolitan? As my colleague Dwayne Lard says, Houston proper.
Well, I mean, right now I know that, you know, with George Floyd being from Houston, you know, that's a very hot topic right now. And it would be very advantageous for us to make sure that we have every possible, you know, voice out there that we can talk about the subjects that need to be talked about. We have shows already that talk about our third ward, that talk about, you know, the Asian communities and how they're suffering at the time. And we're still dealing with the COVID situation, and we're still dealing with a lot of different items. And that is where I communicate very, very tightly and very well with all of our volunteers. We have over 200 volunteers that have a scope of shows that they are very in tune with what's happening. And right now, with me being so new to Houston and having to deal with the issues that we are, it is very, very important that we have a very nice, tight-knit group that we do. And so I can reach out to the people and say, okay, how can we talk about this? How can we serve these people? And I get back really good information. And when I do that, then we coordinate and we find a way to make it happen. So we're just at the very first start of the building blocks. So, you know, I would say that from this point, you know, forward, the only way that we can go is up by serving those communities, by serving more people. And, you know, I'll do whatever it takes to follow the mission, educate the public, serve our community, help our staff grow, and help Pacifica look amazing while doing it.
Okay. Chair, we are at time for this item.
Well, let's finish the stack at least.
Okay.
Yeah. Did
I'm just letting you know, Chair. I'm just letting you know.
Okay. So let's, can we extend for 5 minutes?
Chair, this is Sandra. I move we extend for 5 minutes, please.
Okay. Is there a second?
All right, second.
Okay, this is James.
Okay. Are there any objections?
This is James. Chair, did you hear me?
Yes, James.
I wanted to amend and make that 10 minutes.
We already just voted on 5 minutes, or we're about to vote on 5 minutes.
Well, you didn't give a moment for an amendment. I mean, come on.
I would like to second that amendment.
Okay, we have an amendment for 10 minutes. And we have a second. Are there any objections to 10 minutes? Okay. Okay, Ron is next, and Dwayne. Okay.
Okay, you know, welcome to the NFL, my man. My question is this. And it may be a little early, but, you know, as you know, as a general manager, you have to have, a relationship with your local station board. I'd like to know, you know, your take, you know, on your local station board, is it representing, you know, do you feel that it's, you know, it's working with you, you know, on these issues that you're tackling? You know, just a broad, a generalized view of how that's been, you know, what's been your experience and, you know, anything you'd like to see improved or changed.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question. Our local board, before I even started, I was invited into the very first meeting and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, wow, what's going on here? And then once we got into January and into February and into March, you know, I found that a lot of people have the exact same desire. They have the exact same push. They have the exact same, you know, wants, but they just all communicated a little bit differently. And everybody has value. You know, you'll hear that, oh, this person's pain or, oh, this person, you know, but here's the thing. You've got to dig down and truly find out what it is that they're asking for. And so I would say that over the past 3 months now, 4 months going on, the board has been really supportive in getting things fixed, getting things done, getting us back to where we need to be. And I think we're running in a very, very good direction. Dwayne Lark has been, you know, really awesome, and always asking me very pertinent questions, always staying on top of things, always being supportive. You know, Sandra and Wally and everybody, Lyndon and the whole nine yards, they have really been great. You always have one or two people that like to shake the room. But the thing is that we have to remember why we're here. And sometimes it just takes a little bit more effort to reach out to those individuals and help them see the carrot that we're striving for. Find out the information that they truly want and try to make it happen in a way that makes both sides happy. That is exactly what we do. And I think, and this is just my personal opinion, we have done very well at communicating amongst one another.
Thank you. I think Dwayne is next. Does anybody else, before you go, Dwayne, does anybody else want to be on the stack? We have a few more minutes.
Beth to the stack, please. Thank you.
Beth? Yeah, Lawrence would like a second bite.
Let's see if we have time, Lawrence. Anybody okay. else? Okay, if nobody else and we have time, you can go. Dwayne, go ahead.
Okay, Lawrence, I'll try to be quick so that you can come back. I like your questions. David, first off, as I said at our board meetings and I'll say it on the national line, that you have come in with the storm and you have demonstrated some specific acute skills to get things done and your energy levels rival the last six IEDs that we've had. And I did see pushback initially that you are politically withholding, but even from those who brought you on. But I think they've come around to recognize the fact that they need to get out of your way and let you do the job that you were hired to do. And I have confidence that you're on the right track. And having said that, I'd like to have, there was a lot of misinformation on this board last year and even going into this year about mold in our building and the safe, healthy environment. Could you confirm without going too deep that there is in fact not a safe environment workplace and that's why, people are not in the station, and have you received any type of request or any type of pressure to let people in the building, to operate in the building like the previous IGM was under pressure to do?
Well, I know that you know, our building currently is needing work. And I don't want to go into a lot of detail about that, but it does need work. And, you know, when you have people that have claimed this building as their home for the past 20, 25 years, it is a shock to them. And, yes, they're going to be concerned. And, yes, they want to know when they can come home. And I'm doing everything in my power as quickly as I can with Lydia and the entire staff and the entire boards to get the items taken care of that we need to take care of. So absolutely, I do believe that our volunteers and our board want to come home.
Well, thank you for that comment. And for the record, I just want to recognize the fact that those who had so much pressure and so much demand on the previous IGM, it's good that they've relented and changed their tactics and don't have so much pressure on you to put folk in an unhealthy situation. And finally, are you aware that when you arrived at KPFT that the radio station's grid, that is the shows, were 80% Anglo, and we have an MSA, which is a metropolitan service area, that is 70% non-Anglo?
You know, it took me a little longer than when I first got here because a lot of our information on our website was incorrect. And so for me to actually find out what our shows were, I literally had to sit down and I would pull 6-hour shifts and I would sleep at odd times and I would write down every program and match it to the grid. And then I had the correct people, go in and fix the grid. So I actually knew where we were. Yes, we are leaning in specific directions right now. But as you well know, once the ability to work on the programming takes place, we will make the adjustments and we are going to be aligning ourselves, with our listeners. And we're going to, the very first thing, like I said in my report, that we're going to do is we're going to send out a poll on the website. We're going to send it to the volunteers. And what the idea is we're going to get responses from actual listeners and we're going to compare those same answers to what the volunteers think our listeners want. That way we can see the disparity and we can work on correcting it without tipping the entire scale over at one time. And it gives us a chance to put the building blocks together to do it right. Because the one thing that we don't want to do is make such a shift from the way things are, even though they may not be perfect now. But if you make a major shift, you're going to lose a lot of people on one side or the other of the demographics that you currently have. And right now, with the cum that KPFT has, we don't have a lot of room to be wiggling around and dumping off listeners. So we need to be very advantageous and work very, very slowly in building in those programs as we balance things out to be equal to all.
Well, thank you for your response. And I would caution you that that's exactly what the Republicans are telling Uncle Joe, okay, to not move too fast.
We have to go to the next.
Yeah, sure.
Stack. So I think we're going to run out of time pretty soon. Beth.
Hi, this is Beth Van Gunten. I'm a representative from KPFK, where I've been on the local board just for the last year and a quarter, more or less, although I'm a lifelong listener to KPFK and BAI, just a little background on who I am. First, I want to thank you for the report we received just before the meeting began. I was impressed both with the report itself and with the content. I want that where we are. That's one of the things I ran on, so I'll be following up with Mo about that. What I wanted to ask today has, again, to do with listener demographics. Right now, KPFK isn't receiving Nielsen-type reports on the demographics of our listeners as a cost-saving measure, so we're shooting blind. But in the reports that I did see when I first came on last year and for the few months after that, it was pretty consistently the case that our listenership was about 70% male. And that's more than two men listening for every woman that's listening. And to me, that's sort of leaving donations, leaving participation, leaving memberships lying on the table. We're just not talking to that part of the population. And I'm wondering if you know what that figure is for Houston, and whether you have thoughts about how to address. Maybe you're already in balance there. I'd have no idea, but I have had trouble getting anybody at KPFK to acknowledge that it's an issue. So I just wanted to bring it out in the open here and see what you might have to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the question. That's kind of it has a lot of variables that go into anything when you're dealing with male versus female graphics. The listening habits of a male are much different than the listening habits of a female. And over the 36 years that I've done this, what I've learned is gentlemen will stick around longer than women. If women don't hear what they like, they will button punch until they find something that keeps their attention. And so the one thing that you have to make sure that you do is you have to be able to appeal to them on a very personal level. And that is what really has turned around so far what we've been doing here locally. We haven't been able to change the programming per se, but what we have been able to do is we've gotten all of our announcers, all of our volunteers to quit saying we and you guys. Now it's me and you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to one person. And when you really narrow it down to that, it gives them the feeling that they truly belong, that they own what they're listening to, that they want to contribute to the cause, because you're talking to them. You're not talking to that person as a group, if that makes sense. And so we did notice an upspike once we started doing that. Now the PPM numbers that I get are not through Pacifica, but I do have access to some Nielsen numbers. So I am able to see, you know, when our strongest points are. And for it, for instance, KPFT right now, our strongest points are on Saturday and Sunday. And it's because what has been going on Monday through Friday has become, what I can see is more along the lines of kind of the same thing. It doesn't change. It's always the same. And people are wanting it to change a little bit. They're wanting to hear something new, something surprising. And so, you know, heck, even local news would be great for us, in which case I'm working on that right now as we speak, to bring back in the local news and bring back in the current affairs programs, that are really, really, set for Houston. And so, you know, my belief is that the more you connect one-on-one with a listener, the more they respond. And it's been through, you know, tried and true. I have done this with talk formatting, classical formatting, blues formatting, jazz formatting, all talk, political. I've done it with Spanish programming, and it works. So it's just a matter they have to believe in what you're doing. But more than anything else, you have to believe in the people that you serve.
Thank you. How are we doing on time, Lawrence?
So I've been following the Tatum rule, Mr. Tatum's rule of only clocking board members and the answers. So I'm not clocking the time. So presently we have 2 minutes and 4 seconds.
Okay. Left. So if anybody else wants to... A stack?
Ron wanted a second bite.
Well, Lawrence asked first, so I'll let Lawrence go, then you go, Ron, okay?
Thank you, Ron. I won't take too much time, Ron. My questions are specific. Three questions, David. First question is, I'm gonna push back, on you when you say that we're gonna dump listeners, if we, diversify the grid. I really believe that's not acceptable to me as a person of color. And if you have a demographic, and I want to remind you that Houston was the first station to lose its CPB funding, because of demographics.
Right. Now,
Because it was not, interrupt you it was not, quick. I'm not finished yet, David. No, please. I have very little time. Because you could go on forever, with your time. And the second question is, was the George Floyd verdict, played live? Was there a live coverage of that? And then the third question is a question from the chat. What can you do to increase live programming that's being produced remotely? But if you could address the demographic question and the CPB issue, I would appreciate it. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I think you may have misinterpreted what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say with the formatting of the station is that you don't want to pick up every one of your shows and toss them out and replace them and expect listeners to stick around because they don't understand what's going on. When you make programming changes, you need to make them one at a time. You can't take three quarters of your day, pick it up and move it and expect the listeners to understand what's going on unless you really pre-promote it like nobody's business. So what I'm saying is as we become more diversified than even what we are now, we need to make sure that we're not moving programs that people are currently, you know, paying for, that they're currently supporting, and, you know, just to put in other things. What I've been doing is I've been looking at the scale of, number one, our streaming listeners, number two, our on-air listeners, and number three, the amount of donations that have been coming in. And so, you know, as we work on becoming even better, what I'm just trying to get at is you can't make so many moves at one time that we would confuse listeners to the point where they wouldn't even know who they're listening to anymore. I want to make sure that as we move forward, that all those people keep coming with us. And so, you know, that to me is the most important part, is that we don't frighten people away by making big moves all at one time.
Okay, Ron?
Yeah, just a brief reminder to the new GM at the IGM at KPFT. KPFT was bombed, okay, because of its positions, you know, because it allowed positions to be on the air, you know, that the status quo down in Texas did not like. You know, that's a rich legacy. And, you know, that station, you know, is important to the network. In Texas, you know, that's ground zero. Okay. So I think with the people who are concerned about the programming are just trying to say this, you know, that type of programming, is what's needed, what's necessary for, the Houston community. And, you know, I understand your rationale about not trying to dump everything at the same time. Nobody would advocate for that, you know, but, in terms of understanding, the history and the importance, of that station, you know, don't overlook the necessity for that community to have that beacon, to have that opportunity, to have that voice. Like I say, that's why that unit was bombed, you know, because it was getting the word out.
Well, and I absolutely agree. And the one thing that I can say that I'm really excited about is the fact that we don't just have 90.1 now. We have 90.1 HD2. I can turn on HD3 and I can turn on HD4. And every single one of those can be streamed over to our website as well. And so we can create specific channels if we need to and if we want to. That's the best part. That's why we went through all the work to get us to be 100% digital between the studio and the transmitter, that these things are now going to be available, that we can use them, you know, in ways that we never thought were possible. And so, you know, let me just give you an example. If we decide to go all Spanish, all Latino, we could put it on the HD3. If I wanted to go, you know, all urban, I could do that on the HD4. If I wanted to go all foreign language, I could do that on the HD too. There are so many different ways that we can do things along with our main channel to grow and prosper. You know, right now we just have our simple 90.1 and an HD 2, but we have never really gone into how can we make what we're currently doing even more important and make it stand out more and get the word out more. And so there are so many different things and so many different variables that I'm looking forward to getting into in the next 6 months or so to really get out to as many, many communities as we possibly can.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bays. I think that pretty much should take all the time we have for this item.
Yeah, time, Chair.
Yeah. And we actually are done at this point. We're going to continue discussing KPFT, but the rest of the discussion will be in closed session since we're going to be dealing with confidential business matters and such. We need a motion to adjourn to go into closed session.
Can I get a motion? This is Sandra. I move that we adjourn.
This is Heather. I second.
Okay. So, all right. It's 9:30. Okay, let's resume at 9:33 p.m.